warm up, and enjoy a little RBKD today on the show. Gary P is coming to UT. Sweat all you want, just help us out. We'll get into that. We have a former intern, a UT guy who was ripping on the Texans, made national news and nationally. We'll look at the NFL playoff games. Buffalo KC should be a great one. He is a great one. He went from DB High to DBU, somehow ended up in Detroit. He's in more private clubs and a swinger. He is as open-minded as anyone I've ever met. He doesn't like white food. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first and foremost, he is a lifetime Austinite, a conservative liberal like the great ghetto poet Bun B. But he doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. My man was a reality TV star before Urban Dictionary was a thing. And yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you or your whole team. He is my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
Doing great. How are you? Are you okay?
Good. I'm doing great.
I know it's cold outside.
It's a bit nippy, you know what I mean? We're tropical people, but it's all right. As long as it's not this way for long.
Well, we're not Jamaican. We're not tropical people.
Well, I'm talking about we, as in the...
gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But, you know what? You're my people.
Divide right away, Rod.
Yeah, you know, it is close to Black History Month. I apologize.
That shouldn't be division, though. That should be everyone coming together.
It's not. That's what I'm just saying. You know, the black folks out there, right? my black brothers and sisters.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'll say. We are tropical people, originally.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. It's cold. No bike ride today.
But it did start, I don't know if it's called sleet or whatever. I mean, it was actually... You know, raining in some parts.
Really?
But, oh, yeah. It was, I mean, I don't know. I got some Zach Shields down south.
This morning, you said more west.
I'm talking about as I'm driving in.
Okay.
I got really? Okay. Yeah. So just people out there. I know Austin.
I drove in too. I guess early, though, because I had some meetings. Yeah. So probably
and I drove in from the south. So I don't, you know, maybe it's just coming in or something, but it was raining in some spots and then kind of, I guess, sleeting. That's what you would call it in some spots. So just a heads up. I know everybody out there, the old saying is that nobody wants to admit that they're a bad driver or bad at sex. Everybody's good at both if you ask them. The truth is, most people are bad at both. Mm. Right? That's true.
Yeah. Welcome.
But I'm just saying.
Unifying again.
I'm just saying, so be careful out there. Just drive carefully, all right? Trust me, I live near an intersection. People run the stop sign all the time.
We've heard.
So I'm just saying.
Old man.
There you go.
Austin is a spot where Houston probably the same way, I would think. But Dallas is different. When it gets cold here, people just empty the shelves, which is a different story with some of the shelves already. So even when they're loaded, we're all good with... inflation, whatever it is, all the stuff that goes into it, it's still in Austin a big deal because shelves are empty. And I talked to Natalie yesterday morning, and she said, I'm at the store and people are freaking out here.
Just because it's cold.
It was going to get cold. It wasn't then.
It wasn't even cold.
I've heard for 2 days.
The weather guessers. Yeah.
It could be freezing.
But that's because of the snowvid. Like I said, that PTSD from Snowvid, people are freaking out about
it. It's not. Patrick?
It is somewhat, but it's not completely. They've always done this.
Always done this.
Yeah.
Always, Rod.
I had my roommate go to the store last night, and she came back and was like, she's like, man, there was like 5 loaves of bread left, and there was stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it's going to be cold. She's like, well, no, but that's stupid. I go, I agree it's stupid, but that's why there's 5 loaves of bread left.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Water's gone.
Yeah. No.
Paper towels.
Yeah, that's get crazy. Everything hoarded.
Obviously, toilet paper. All. Toilet paper is the ultimate barometer.
TP's always gone.
Of people freaking out. It's the first thing that goes is toilet paper. Yeah. And you know what? There's always some toilet paper left over when a crisis happens. That's how you know.
It's weird because they really stock it.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that they don't buy it all.
I mean, the highest supply chain in my life, there was always toilet paper. You could go on a random day and it may kind of be gone. People were hoarding that then. It's our grandparents with freezers.
Oh, the deep freezer. The big one.
Dora and Lucille had 4.
That's true. Oh, yeah, and they just throw stuff in their peas.
everything.
It can be meat in there.
They threw me in there. Everything.
No, yeah, no, the old part of the wedding cake that they had from when they from the first marriage, it's in there. Just all kind of stuff in there. Just
when y'all got married, 52.
What? The wedding cake did, okay, all right, whatever.
I think there's some venison in there. When's the last time you went hunting?
1983? Right. Yeah, no, exactly.
And it was in the backyard.
Yeah, and it'd be really good if grandma would put, like, she would write the date when she put it in there on there, but nope, just throw it in there.
No.
So we don't even know when it's freezer burned, how long it's been.
Lucille wrote the dates on there, but it was so long ago that the ink had just...
You got to treat it like a paleontologist. It's like layers to it. So, or like an archaeologist. Are you going through the different layers of the earth? And you go, all right, this was at this period. This must mean it's a little bit older. That's how you go through grandma's deep freezer.
That's how it works.
How I did.
There was always some good stuff in there.
Well, because you had the Otter Pops. She had some
15 years ago. But
she had some
good
nice
stuff.
Little freezer treats in there too. I mean, you had the ice cream sandwiches. I'm not into that, but people would be into it. Yeah,
why not?
All your What do you mean? I'm the white.
Vanilla ice cream.
The white part.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I know
you're
they got
racist.
The chocolate ones. I'm not a racist.
You
I
actually
don't like
you
white
aren't
liquids.
At all.
Not
just a foodist.
With food.
A foodist.
With food you are. You're
no,
food
not
racist.
Food. No, only liquids. So it's more condiments than liquids. I mean, white foods are fine. I love white meat.
Too much so. I told you, I'm the Louis Farrakhan of chicken.
You are, yeah.
I don't want anything white around me.
Yeah, you don't like the white meat. I like all the meat.
Ugh.
All the
dry
yard birds,
and
great. Oh, no, you need the breast and the thigh.
No.
You need it all.
No.
Mm-hmm. The wing, the drumstick.
Give me legs.
The whole damn thing. See, there you go. I mean, I like the legs too. Why discriminate though?
I just do.
It's all the
taste.
The breast the breast is good. You think it's too dry?
If you brine it, it can be okay. But yeah, when I go out, I never get the breast.
Okay. Well, I am very, very, very picky about my fried chicken places. So the only time I really eat a breast is when it's fried.
Dan won't tell me, but I think Plucker's brines because their stuff is tender.
I haven't heard.
So I can do some white meat if it's tender, but I have to know the cook.
In there, you're talking about their like chicken breast.
Yeah,
see, I haven't had Plucker's chicken breast.
It's good.
I get the wings every time. You know me. I think
it's brined. If you brine it, I'm okay.
Brine it, brine. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and brine.
Wow.
What? I'm going to end it with a dad joke.
The All-American. No, you did. Trey was doing that too. So speaking of dads, Gary P, who was our daddy. Is coming to Austin. We figured that because of the shirt he was wearing at the Kansas State game. You saw the Texas stuff. Yeah. Talk about CDC, his former boss. Yeah. It was a done deal.
It's
but Rod, how happened?
Chip Brown up there.
And Chip up there. Chip doing up there?
Chip Brown was just hanging out. I was like, Chip Brown would be hanging out up there.
Who let him in? We invited him. What's going on
they
here?
They invited him or Chip Brown found the damn way?
Right, exactly.
It's like, even they were surprised. Like, Chip Brown's here.
Chip, what are you doing here?
Climbing over the seats.
Chip Brown, hey, getting the scoops.
Someone sent that to me and they go, I think this is Photoshop. They go, no, you don't know Chip.
Exactly. Hey, Photoshop. That's Chip Brown.
You damn right. Not Photoshopped at all. So how advantageous can this be for Texas?
We don't know. I mean, we were very, very cautiously optimistic about the Sark hiring, just saying people like, you know, just he's as a coach, he's got a lot of growing to do. He's got to evolve as a coach. We saw that this year. I love the offseason. I think he's showing some signs of that growth in this offseason. So just like the Sark hiring where, you know, it was a work in progress, and I think it still is, Gary Patterson is reinventing himself, right? The Gary Patterson that was has a statue on campus there in Fort Worth at TCU. You know, he's going to be a different Gary Patterson for Texas because he's not going to be in that head coaching role. He's going to be in a different role. You know, there's going to be some humility to that. We don't know the hierarchy in terms of who answers to who. Maybe that's not important. Maybe it is. And, you know, the way that he communicates with the coaches and the players. And speaking of Chip Brown, actually, Chip Brown had a nice piece over at Horns 24/7. That talked about the, you know, basically the role that Gary Patterson will play, the role that he envisions for himself. And I encourage you to go over to Horns 24/7 and read the piece. But Chip Brown says, but something Patterson said Tuesday night struck me in showing how perceptive he is as it pertains to Longhorns football. Patterson said, quote, I want to be for Sark what Dick Tomey was for Mack Brown.
Whoa.
You go into that. Because I know you were, you know, I mean, you, I'm just saying, I know you were close to the program.
Yeah, that was really big. And that kind of saved him at that time. So Dick Tomey was Arizona. If you go Desert Swarm. Teddy Bruschi, give me the DC.
Of Desert Swarm?
Yeah.
Oh,
because he was with Texas.
Akina.
No, he was the secondary coach.
Yeah, damn it.
Larry McDuff.
Okay.
Who was the DC.
Okay.
And so you had Akina, Tomey, and Emmy.
No,
they were big time. Miami, the end of the first U was that Fiesta Bowl against Arizona. Hmm. Chuck Levy actually had a long run for them and went pro after that. He's also a great example of who's our Ohio State quarterback?
Which one?
The one who actually ended up winning it. Big arm.
Ooh, not, but did he win the Heisman?
No.
Okay.
I forgot that. Anyway, Arizona actually blew them out 29-0, and that was the end of the U, and that was like Tomey, like really at his top. And so they were doing really good stuff with the Arizona program, and the fact that he kind of, I think, went to San Jose State and they almost like lost their D1 status. He was in a weird spot at the end of his career, but I bring up the 94 year because that was Dick Tomey we knew, like, and Dwayne Keenan, Larry McDuff. Like, these guys are really good.
That was him at his peak?
Yeah, to beat the U like that, they barely crossed midfield.
Yeah.
I mean, they were legit. And so he knew what he did at the highest level, also knew that he had probably gained humility and also gotten to a spot where, yo, this is kind of my last go around. And that's kind of where it feels like it is with Gary. I see the comparison.
No, I mean, the fact that, I mean, he's obviously studied his history and, you know, knows the history of the program because his wife, of course, is a lifetime Longhorn and was close to the program, worked with DeLoss Dodds, actually, right?
Yeah.
So they know the history of the program, and for him to make that specific reference, I think it's smart of him because Longhorn fans recollecting that time. Talk about nostalgia kicking in, right? It's like, oh, he can be Dick Tomey. Right after that, Texas won the national. Oh, yes, of course. So I don't even know exactly what Dick Tomey did for Mack Brown. I mean, we still don't know a ton of the details. We know he worked with the players. Was it defensive line he was working with?
Yeah, and he kind of oversaw everything.
Oversaw a lot
just
of
how
it.
Everything was operating.
He was the assistant head coach.
Another pair of eyes, someone who had been there.
Yeah,
and someone who had seen succeeded, failed, all that, and kind of put it together. I mean, Dick Tomey really helped out.
Yeah, and he was only here for 1 year.
That was it.
He was only at Texas for 1 year in 2004. So he was, Chip says, when Mack Brown brought in Dick Tomey as a consultant in 2004, Tomey transformed the program from the inside as much as anyone. And a lot of players gave him a ton of props, too. I've heard Casey Studdard was on with B&E early this morning. I believe it was the 8 o'clock hour, but I could be off about that. If I'm off, I apologize. You should go listen to the whole thing. It was a great show because he had a lot of different guests on. Had Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman, but he also had Casey Studdard on talking about how this transformation the program went through, where they had all the talent, but they needed to infuse the culture with a certain toughness. And even with all the talent they had, I'm hearing 04. Hell, they had enough talent to go to a national title when I left.
Yeah.
In 02. We should have been playing
almost
for 1-01. Yeah, we almost did.
Would have lost, but.
But I will admit, too, there was something missing, like a certain toughness, and maybe it was mental toughness more than anything. But they found that swagger and that toughness, and a lot of the players, they credit Dick Tomey coming in, kind of finding those little details. I heard Casey Studdard, and you could tell he was literally recollecting. I mean, I could tell anyway. I don't know if people could tell listening, but I could tell he was recollecting a specific memory at a workout in the off season because he was talking about Dick Tomey, and he just kind of went on a rant, and it was fascinating because he said, all the way, touch the line. And I was like, what is he talking about, touch the line? And I was like, oh, I know what he's talking about, touching the line now. It hit me like 2 or 3 seconds, and maybe because I had to touch the line too. And he was like, but if you go, he said, if you're 6 inches short of the line, that don't count.
Right.
That don't count. He said, you got to touch the line. He said, if you ain't willing to
go
6 inches.
Which is building a much bigger culture than actually hitting that line.
He said, football's a game of inches. You got to go the extra 6 inches and touch the line. And I could tell, I was like, I bet that's a Dick Tomey line. Because he literally started sprouting it off. But it's round the money. We were 6 inches short every time. Texas was when I was here. We were just a little bit short. And getting back to your point about it being a microcosm and analogy overall, that no, do it right, go the entire way. As a matter of fact, go above and beyond if you can.
Yeah.
But don't cut it short, because you're only shortchanging yourself. You may get through the exercise, but if you know that you shorted yourself and didn't touch the line and you were 6 inches short, then you're shorting yourself, you're cheating yourself, and you're cheating the team. It was fascinating to watch him go through it, but I could tell that he was recollecting a culture change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a guy who won a national title. Got a lot to learn from.
Well, it's risk, reward, and we talked about it yesterday, Patrick, that what's the risk? I mean, there really isn't one. I mean, as long as he doesn't Jack Easterby this place, if he's not, you know, if he's got some weird motive.
Yeah, unless he's got Del Conte's ear because they worked together before and he goes and changes everything. No, that's not going to happen.
No.
So, yeah, it's basically, why would you not? We talked yesterday, too, about Georgia and how many people they had on their staff. You're like, yeah, go get some people. Try and get some people to help you out and figure out what's wrong, fix what's wrong in the program, because it's clearly not as easy as, oh, we're a couple inches away right now. We're not touching the line. That's not the problem with Texas right now.
No.
They need to get on a different field first, and then they can worry about touching the line.
That's well said. I mean, I totally get Rod's point. It's fascinating to hear Rod talk about that, especially with his era, and then Casey, what he talked about.
Well, Casey was talking about, like, from the 04 perspective, because they were really close. They were right there. They were right there. 02, we were right there. I mean, he's damn right, but Patrick's right. Right now, hell no, they not. Don't worry about touching the line. Just worry about getting on the field with the big boys. Right now, you're on the middle school field, the junior field.
At the end of the day, 04, I mean, I've got more with baseball than any of the big three because it's UT baseball, and they've always had their balls on the dirt, if you will. But there are so many teams that were that close. So, I mean, I could go through 84, 85, 89, 2004, definitely 2010. You can go through all these teams last year that were that close, and 04 is right there.
Yep.
Because 04 lost 12-0 to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That was it. And it was a cornerback blitz from Antonio Perkins. There was no adjustment, in-game adjustment with Greg Davis and what they're doing, and they were that close. The defense was good enough to beat Oklahoma that year. And if you win that, you're playing for a natty, and you could win it with VY.
Yeah. I think that happened to, I mean, I think, honestly, that happened to us one time with Oklahoma, too. Oklahoma blew the doors off us one year. I'll grant you that. But I believe it was my junior year. The defense was good enough.
Yeah.
The 14-3,
I believe.
Yeah. And from the offense, that was
63-14. I can't give you any love the year before.
Yeah.
But you just said that.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, I think that was some coaching issues. And, you know, I think that if we had been better prepared and better in game adjustments offensively, we'd have a chance to win that game.
Yeah.
Oklahoma was a better team, though. We just said, you know, really good defense.
That was Superman game. Sorry. I know. Trust me, it hurts me. I know this is hard to hear. I feel like a parent.
No, no.
It hurts me as much as it hurts you.
No, I still see it.
Now, bend over. I mean, it sucks. Because that game was there.
That was
7-3. Now, we're not going to go 98 yards.
That's the 6 inches. You were right there.
Yeah.
I mean, No, don't get me started.
All right. UT landed a wide receiver. We talked about him. Wyoming kid. And Texas got him, Rod.
Yeah, give props to Brendan Marion coming in. He's already making his presence felt as a recruiter. That was one of the questions about Brendan Marion, right? He had proven himself as a talent developer at Pitt with Jordan Addison yep. winning the Biletnikoff, had proven himself to be an innovator with the go-go offense. And I think the question was, could he recruit? Well, now with the transfer portal, you can prove that sooner rather than later, and he did, snagging Isaiah Nair, the transfer from Wyoming, who was previously committed to Tennessee. He had 878 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns with 44 receptions, excuse me, in 2021. His first year as a freshman, that was his second year stats as a sophomore. His first year as a freshman, only 248 yards receiving. So, I mean, you're talking about a huge leap in production. He is from Arlington. Lamar came out initially as a two-star prospect.
He's a Viking,
But two-star, baby. Flipped the script. Now in the transfer portal, rated as a four-star prospect coming out. Number 30th ranked player in the transfer portal. Number 4 ranked wide receiver in the transfer portal. So, yeah, I mean, that's big for Texas because you needed some insurance. It'd be great if Jordan Whittington and Troy Meary stay healthy, knock on wood, the entire season. That would be awesome. But if they don't, you need an insurance policy behind that, and that's why Isaiah Nair is here. And even if they do stay healthy, now you got better competition at the wide receiver position.
I saw a Texas fan actually on Twitter who I like also throw some incoming guys, and I thought that'd be great, but don't rely on that.
Yeah, well, Xavier Worthy has every, you know,
have
freshman All-American.
Plans.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's great if they do, but that's found,
of course.
Should be found money.
If you have 7, that's great.
That should be
you
found
have 5,
money.
That's great.
Yeah.
But make sure you set that up where they can actually get that, and that was one of the spots we had talked about a little bit for Texas to jump in on. Speaking of Texas, we have a former intern, used to be here. He's making national news.
Welcome back to RBKD. It is a Soul Train. Soul Train S Thursday edition of RBKD. Damn near every break.
What a bitch.
KD goes. And that's because she is a really nice dog.
Oh, Jenny. I love Jenny.
Yes.
Female dog.
So people
female
know.
Female dog.
Yes. So yeah. People know what
no,
you're
Jenny's
talking
awesome.
About. Yes.
But she's being a bitch.
But she doesn't like them playing catch in the hallway because she wants the damn ball.
Yeah.
Right? Wade is cool with it.
Yeah, Wade.
Wade don't. He just chills. He doesn't. It really
I've
doesn't
never
care
had a you're cat like, who is as chill as Wade.
Yeah, so Wade doesn't mind. Is Wade here?
Yeah. Oh, no, Wade's here.
Okay.
Wade's getting a little fired up with Jenny. Jenny's awesome.
Yeah.
And we have multiple tennis balls, so we're throwing them to Jenny, which we love.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing better than that. And throwing, she's going and grabbing. Mm-hmm. But then once Derek and I start playing toss, she wants that ball.
She wants that ball.
And
she wants the ball you're playing with, whatever ball that may be. Exactly.
Just like Dick Chop. One of my ball. He got it.
Wow. Well done. Yeah. I mean, not a lot of people can even make that joke. Well done.
No, but I can.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Jenny's cool, though. It's good to have a – I love Wade, but this is – I mean, Jenny's dog.
I'm a big fan of dogs in the office. All right. Love that we can have dogs in
but
the office.
But not us playing catch?
Yeah, you know what?
Huh.
You guys can do what you want to do because you're right.
Whoa, thank you.
Because you guys do play with the dogs. You guys play
thank
fetch
you,
with
Paul
the dogs
Bart.
In the hallway. No, I'm not mad about it. But I'm just saying at times you guys really rev it up for some reason. And you're trying to get your MPHs up and your velo going. And then if you're
the
off.
The accuracy goes away.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If you're off and the ball goes a little haywire, which it has before, and then you can hit something or someone. And then there can be damage.
With a tennis ball?
Has there been damage done before?
Yes.
Okay. With a tennis ball?
Not by me, though.
Has there been damage
done? Not by me.
Well, I'm just saying, has something been damaged before?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
The on-air sign.
See, something crucial to the business function here.
Oh, crucial smooshal. When that crucial.
That's all I'm saying. All right.
Show went on.
The show must go on. You're damn right about that. Speaking of the show, how about the circus show? That's what my man Charles Amenahu, former intern
yes,
for
sir.
You guys.
Yes, sir.
That's what he called the Texans. a circus show. Well, because Charles Minnehue was asked about his time with the 49ers. Remember, he was recently traded from the Texans to the 49ers. And the Lifetime Longhorn said the difference is, quote, it's not a circus show here. You guys definitely have things down pat, and you know what you want of the players and the coaches. Know the expectations. It's very thought out and said it's been nothing but good. So, essentially describing his time with the Texans as a circus show. He went on to say, a lot more structure, the leadership between the coach and the GM, it doesn't seem like it's a power struggle.
Whoa.
It's very like they are on the same page. They have an understanding what they want. They make it very clear what they want from GM to head coach and head coach to the position coaches.
You know what he's talking about?
Mm.
His first real job. And the structure they had.
Mm-hmm.
The afternoon show or intern. And I broke rules. I gave him rules that I had not given any other intern. And that was, at any point, you can go leave to go eat or lift weights.
Mm, there
or
you go.
Work out.
There you go. That helped. That's helping his
it did.
Professional aspirations. I helped him achieve those.
I told him. I said, but here's what I want from you.
What do you want from him? Can you reveal that?
Intel.
Okay.
Really wasn't.
All right, you know
really
what? That's good.
To do with the job.
That's good. I'm sure that, I'm sure he was giving that
actually,
anyway.
He's a great, great guy. I'd say great kid. Great young guy. Huge guy.
Huge.
And was walking out one time and he goes, hey, Katie, can I go to Chick-fil-A right now? I was like, I wasn't kidding around with what I told you.
Yeah.
At any point, if you want to leave here, you could be in the middle. Patrick could give you the biggest duty in the world. And in the middle of it, I will sign off if you want to go eat.
And as long as he brings some of those bigoted bites of joy back to
And
to
I
us.
Didn't even ask that.
Really?
No.
Wow, you gave him the VIP treatment.
VIP.
Then. There you go. All right, well, you know what? Good for you. So you can say that you helped support him becoming a pro, a successful pro
Understanding
athlete.
A really good structure.
Yeah.
An organization.
Man.
And he was great. I felt bad for him there. You know, people looked at that, and you know this better than I do with Shano. People looked at the Niners grabbing him, and I totally get it. Dee Ford was already on IR, but with the plethora of edge guys they had, it was, why go get him? Well, he had a sack and a half in the most important game they had all year.
Oh, no. He's even with the Texans,
injuries,
he was a great.
That's why you got him.
Yeah, he was a great situational pass rusher with the Texans.
He was.
They really needed to play him more. They felt they needed to keep him situational, but I think with the Texans, now with the 49ers, because of how deep they are, yes, he's situational. With the Texans, because of, I think the lack of depth there, he should have been playing more.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you still say situational, but maybe second and third down and not on first down. But either way, I mean, he's been really, really good. I'm not sure. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
1 year, yeah.
1 year left on his deal. So I hope he ends up re-signing with the 49ers because they love stockpiling D linemen.
Yeah.
And
they also like getting rid of older ones if they can get value back.
And he is good value.
He's good value, but he'd be younger to where it's like, hey, we're going to get rid of someone and you start.
Yeah. He also
that's Eric Armstead, whoever.
Went on to say about the Texans, or about the tech, comparing the Texans and the 49ers. Quote, definitely a breath of fresh air for sure. This year has been a long year for me personally. My third year didn't go as far as early on how I thought it would be coming off my second year, a combination of what I was going through over there. So coming here was definitely a breath of fresh air. I love it. The organization has a lot of structure, and it's not an ego-driven one. It's not a power struggle either. It's definitely good to experience that. So talking about the Texans.
So what do you read into this? So we talked about Chuck.
Chuck. Yeah. I mean,
what about the Texans?
Well, he talks about, he's clearly talking about the leadership issues. I mean, he doesn't talk about the locker room, really. He's not talking about coaches either. I don't even think he's really getting into the coaches. He's talking about leadership above the coaches. He's talking about the general managers. He's talking about, I'm sure, Jack Easterby, whatever role that he serves there with the Texans. And I'm sure, Cal McNair, that's obviously got to be thrown into the mix there, too. So, yeah, I mean, everybody knows that's the issue with the Texans. It's a leadership problem. Yep. They don't have lack of leadership and a lack of a consistent constructive culture. right now. I think they have a kind of toxic, destructive culture going on with the Texans. And they really can't start to heal as an organization now until they move on from Deshaun Watson. Like, they can't. They're stuck in purgatory. This kind of toxic purgatory that they're stuck in. So they can't really start to rebuild the culture or start the rebuilding process logistically with the roster until they move on from Deshaun. They're stuck. They're like that we talk about those married couples.
Yeah.
Those married couples who can't afford, who are going to get divorced and then can't afford to live separately. So they have to live together for a while. So they stack their cash so they can move separately, but they're divorced and living together. That's what the Texans are with Deshaun Watson. They already know they're getting separated. They know that at one point they're going to trade him and it's a foregone conclusion, but they're still interconnected. He is still considered to be the face of the franchise, and he doesn't even play. Like, that's toxic. Like the same way it would be toxic to live with someone that you are divorced with. Like, it's just toxicity.
Yeah.
It will rot your soul.
Bad energy.
And it's exact. And the Texans, even being in that locker room as a player, it's got to be just bad mojo. You got to feel it. You know it.
Yeah.
Everybody there knows it.
Yeah. And he's still young, so he's also impressionable, and he's dealing with that.
That's
so
his first, yeah, right, that's his first.
That's all he knows.
That's all he knows, yeah.
So he goes somewhere else, you see this a lot, and it's like, whoa.
The hell?
Thought the league was like this, yeah. Or like that.
Yep, turns out it's not like that at all.
How much of this, though, is, again, when they try and do the Patriots way without winning? Because the Patriots way only works if you win. If you lose, the cutthroat, yep. It's either this or we're going to cut you. You don't eat unless we win. Doesn't work if there's no winning. And I think
Herman.
Yeah, and this is, I think, what the Texans have tried to do for the last 4 or 5 years now is this very competitive, very ego-driven way of, hey, it's everyone fend for yourself. I want the best player at every position. No position is safe. Everything is up for grabs. Don't trust anybody. You're playing for your position each and every week because that's how we're going to win. And then you don't win. So you go, why am I busting my butt out there every week fighting with these guys? And then I realize that my buddies on the D-line aren't the problem. We all get along. So he told him one thing and he told me another. So now I don't trust anyone up there because I know they're lying to me.
Yeah.
And when you have that, and now you can go further into that and say, well, when there's not a consistent message from Coley to Easterby to Nick Cesario, to all those guys, or even to Cal McNair, when there's not a consistent message, then that's even worse. But if you go, hey, I talked to Bill O'Brien on Monday, and I talked to my buddy on Tuesday, and Bill O'Brien told both of us we're starting at left end.
Yeah.
So he told both of us, have a good week of practice, and you're starting at left end. Now, I know he can't start both of us at left end. So why am I working hard now? Because he's lying to one of us.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that. Where they think they know what Bill Belichick's doing, but they don't really know what Bill Belichick did. They just took out of it the easy part of it, where it's just the machismo and all that. Mm-hmm. And they just run with that. And it's why I cannot stand the Patriots way, except if it's Bill Belichick.
Yep. Nope.
That's fair.
I agree with that. The power struggles, that's what they've been dealing with for a while, too. And they're all cutthroat behind everybody's back because Easterby got Bill O'Brien fired, and
yep.
Bill O'Brien got... You know, McNair, Rick Smith fired.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
GM with his wife dying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same Rick Smith. It's a common name.
Yeah. But that's actually true, which is like,
no.
Yeah, you might want to ease up on the power struggle when that's the case. So I think that's why, yeah, it's not a lot of trust within that organization, but a lot of issues for the Texans. Okay. Let's get to this Baker Mayfield story, too, because Baker Mayfield did have surgery and he put out a video.
Non-throwing arm. That's the good news.
Yes.
Or is it?
He says he's on track to getting back to his true self after undergoing surgery yesterday. He says in a video that he put out via Twitter, surgery went great, was a complete success. He said now it's on the road to recovery. It's one of those steps to get back to my true self. This is not the end of my story. What is Baker Mayfield's true self?
So
is it
this is his way of saying, look, I gutted this out this year and I was nowhere near as talented as I can be as a thrower. And because Baker already has been up and down, and there could be a lot of opinions, probably more on the he's not a top quarterback, certainly top 15 in the league type quarterback.
Yeah.
If you look at his whole career. Now, this year he was banged up. It's also his non-throwing shoulder. So, but I think it was his labrum on the left, and
he had a bunch of injuries. Man.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's a tough guy, yeah. Without a doubt. I also wouldn't pay him too much money.
Yeah, and I don't know if he did himself any favors by playing through the injuries.
And that's what this is about, though, my true self. You didn't see me, Rod. This wasn't me this year.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's like when you...
John McAvick, Tony Bracken's concussion.
Is that what he said?
94
oh,
game.
You're right.
He gets hit. Salam's going out of bounds with the 319.
Huh.
And Bracken's hits him, and he gets concussed. And then later on that year, at the end of the year, he said... You know, he was the OC saying the play calling has not been as good. He goes, honestly, I was concussed and I've not been myself.
Wow. That is.
You know what? I made him buy a little
that's
bit.
That's a hell of a card to play right there.
It is.
Man. That. I forgot this. So I've heard that story.
Apparently, Bucky put him up to it.
Oh,
Bucky
man.
Goes,
see?
I have the answer.
You know what? That's why you have concussion protocol now.
Right.
Because they'd to put him in protocol.
Well, we didn't have that then.
They didn't have that back then. Then you just say, hey, you
wanted
concussed.
To put Gary Arnell on concussion protocol.
Still calling play. I would love to go track the play calling. See, that's why he couldn't have said that these days. Because we would literally have tracked the play
so
calling.
You know, I was in
you
my head.
You know, your boy would have done it.
Tracking the play calling? And it was off. I mean,
it was off.
I actually bought it later on where I go, okay,
interesting.
That explains some stuff.
So you actually thought like...
Yeah.
Like,
and this is 2 years before he just undressed Charlie McBride, one of the best DCs in college football.
That is interesting.
In the 10-point win against Nebraska.
This is like the Antonio Brown theory about the hit
yeah,
from the
difference
the
is McVick came back mentally. We're still waiting for Antonio to land on planet Earth.
Was Vontaze Burfict? Who hit him? Who hit?
I think it was Burfict.
Was it Burfict? I don't know. The theory is
either that or James Harrison. I'm just throwing two guys.
It wasn't Harrison.
Yeah, because you're on the same team, probably.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, exactly. No, I think it was Burfict. I'm not sure, though. But either way, that's a theory on him. I would love to track that, though. Somebody should go back and do some research if you can find those games. And you said it did look like the play calling was different.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a brain injury. I mean, we say concussion to make it sound good so it's more palatable to the masses. It's a brain injury.
The problem is, though, he took a lot of credit. Him and Gene Dahlquist was the OC that year. And Dahlquist actually helped set up the game plan the next week because Shea Morenz went out that game. And so
game he got concussed?
Shea Morenz had a great game. He's hitting a bunch of square ends with Curtis Jackson, Eric Jackson. That was not the problem. It was giving up 319 rushing yards to Salam, and Cordell Stewart's running the option with 15 yards minimum to go, right? That was the issue. Next week, they win 24-17. Stoney Clark game was the next week.
Wow.
People forget that.
I didn't realize that either.
And it's only 24 points, but James Brown, a lot of boots, a lot of waggles.
Yep.
They put him in a really good spot. So, took credit then. But then
later on, I throw that out there.
Timeline together, and you go, well, he was after CU. So.
Fascinating. That is fascinating stuff.
It's something.
I think it's fascinating anyway, but I'm kind of I'm a football fiend for stuff like that. All right, Baker Mayfield.
And you always enjoy picking my brain about before you.
You've never heard that. I don't think I've ever heard a coach use that excuse for... erratic play calling.
I'll show you the hit during the break. He was knocked out.
I've seen hit. It is. It looks like you could be like seriously concussed, like an actual concussion. They'll put players out for a week or two. So I don't know if he went back on the job or if he.
No, he was back next week.
Yeah, that probably was ill advised. He probably should have actually taken some time.
Nah, we got the dub.
Just
take some Tylenol and take a nap.
That's what people used to do back in the day.
Yeah, I know. It's the wrong thing to do.
I agree with you. Anyway, all right. We'll come back. We'll get into the latest rumors about the coaching carousel, one that affects the college coaching carousel and the NFL coaching carousel. And this name, I got to tell you, it's a hot name. It's probably going to hit the NFL circuit. We'll talk about it when we come back right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260.
Welcome back, RBKD. The fun continues. Jenny keeps on barking. It's good to have a barking dog in here.
I know. Yeah, that's true. You forget because the other dogs have been so well behaved. Jenny doesn't give a damn. She's vocal.
No.
She's like, I'm not having it. I'm going to let you know it.
Bring your kids to work day. Jenny's the kid who's like, no, y'all aren't working.
And it's boring.
This is boring.
Oh, Osley Brothers. This is Osley Brothers?
Yeah.
Well done, sir. Oh, very underrated.
The Howard Osley Brothers.
The Osley Brothers are an underrated group, underrated band. And we're, I mean, they were making music forever, too. I actually didn't realize how, I guess, how old.
How long ago
the Osley Brothers started out. I was an Osley Brothers friend, but they've had so many different phases because they've been around so damn long. They had their R. Kelly phase. I guess they like to forget that. But
they were part of the Trapped in the Closet saga.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they were like, R. Kelly
like
and...
Like the urine phase? Or?
No. They were like making music together. Making music together.
I literally didn't know.
I'm glad you said it so we can clarify. Making music together with R. Kelly.
Well, that's because, fine. That's okay.
Great point, because now R. Kelly is known, first thing you know about is a disgusting, horrible, despicable human being.
Right.
So when somebody says, hey, man, he was just hanging out with R. Kelly, you gotta specify.
Oh,
you gotta be like, no, he was making music with R. Kelly before all of these things were known to the public about his horrible deeds.
No, Contagious is a great song.
I don't know if we caused this, but Jenny's peeing on Wade.
Oh, what?
I'm kidding.
Oh, dude, don't. I was gonna say.
What are you gonna do? You go out there and. What are you gonna do?
We've already had dogs poop in the studio.
Right. So what is a little urine on another dog outside?
We gotta have higher standards about our workplace.
I agree with that.
I love the dogs being there, but pooping and peeing in the place can't have it. No, so that's why I was gonna.
Jenny's fine.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't gonna. Listen, Jenny's mom is calling the shots. So trust me, I'm not going out there to do anything like that. I'm just going out there to help clean it up because. I don't want.
No, you're not.
Around. I would help go clean it up. I guess I wouldn't want urine just there.
We're talking Jim Harbaugh. You can do that in 10 minutes.
Oh no, I would clean up right now, but I would go clean it up when there's time.
You got up like, hey, I'm out of here.
No, you're right. I want to see it. I really just kind of want to see for my eyes. Like, damn, the dog is peeing on another dog.
Okay,
that's straight up disrespectful.
So you're the guy here on 360 with a wreck who's going a little too slow because you really wanted to make sure.
I'm not a rubbernecker.
Anyone decapitated?
I'm not a rubbernecker. I really try not to be that guy, but I guess every now and then, everybody's a rubbernecker.
I try and not be that guy either. And guess what? We're all that guy and gal.
It's like peeing in the shower.
Nobody's gonna admit it,
but you've probably
look.
Done
we
it.
All try and find that right ratio of how I can look and not drive completely with my head facing the other direction.
Right,
because you're like, I don't want to hit the gas too much right now because I'm not watching the road in front of me at all.
That's not safe.
Because I've been in this traffic jam for 30 minutes and I actually want to see what the hell the reason is.
I need a payoff.
And you almost thought you deserve it.
The longer the wait, the more I expect.
Can I just see some guy I don't
multiple
like?
Multiple bodies here.
Yeah, I just want to see
what?
Some guy
what are you
I don't
talking
like.
About? What's wrong with you?
Some guy I don't like getting arrested. Like at the end of it, and you're like, it was your fault. I knew I didn't like you.
Glad you're going.
I have no idea what happened here. Anyone's guilty, whatever.
All right, gentlemen. This story comes from Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. He is claiming his sources say that Jim Harbaugh. Would take the Las Vegas Raiders job if
Gringo
offered.
Domus, months ago, brother.
Yeah, you did say that. And you know what? You're around the money because you talked about Mark Davis, fanboy, as you called him.
Yep.
And he likes big names. That's why he liked John Gruden. He liked Mike Mayock because he was on television. Yeah, and Jim Harbaugh is a big name.
It is. It's 44-19-1 all time
in
the NFL.
I was saying, Jim Harbaugh in the NFL, hell, I'd take him for half of these head coaching vacancies that are open. I'd take Jim Harbaugh over most of the candidates
I'm
talking
about. He's
proven
the most out of everybody.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. No, if you're the Texans, he wouldn't take the job, but you should, try to shoot your shot.
I mean, everyone available right now, we're giving Brian Flores love. Jim Harbaugh went in there.
I agree.
Say that it was set up, but.
And isn't that crazy, though? Last year, nobody would have touched Jim Harbaugh. Hell, the Lions. Didn't even want to touch Jim Harbaugh, and they're in Detroit.
Yeah.
Remember, because he was considered before this year with the kind of the reinvention, if you will. He was considered to be a coach.
He was done
on the downturn. He was like, oh, it's over for him, man. He took a pay cut.
Yeah,
he took a pay cut.
Pay cut.
Took a pay cut because nobody would offer him a job so he could leverage to get a raise.
Rod, there are some people that take a 10% pay cut. You know what his was?
What?
8-4.
50%.
And wow. Then I'll give Harbaugh credit.
I didn't know it was that much.
So he won the Big Ten.
I remember the headline.
He got to the playoff. And so those.
So they pay him back?
Those bonuses weren't cut. But you know what he did with them? Give them all to Michigan staff, Michigan teachers, staff, yeah. Anyone. In that's, any department.
See, you know, that's in case he runs for office later. Right. Harbaugh knows the damn deal. Harbaugh's a man of the people. He
so
is.
It's a good time to go out. I cut it in half. I was cool with it.
Yeah.
I delivered.
Yeah.
And the bonuses, back to the people.
It's time to go. How many national titles does Michigan have?
They claim 11. It's around 3 or 4.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Bo Schembechler and Lloyd Carr. Bo never won one.
Bo was 2-13 in the Rose Bowl.
So he's considered one of the GOATs, and he never won
yeah.
one. Yeah. It's hard to win one there for some reason.
It is.
I don't know why, but.
It's a lot like Texas.
You should have more.
Tons of wins, yeah. Tons of tradition, yeah. Good winning percentage. You got everything except the real NCs.
You should have more because there's an Ohio State in your conference or for Texas in Oklahoma.
Right.
Right now, anyway. Yeah, no, it is, but he should leave. And it shouldn't just be, I don't know why he's not getting more interviews in the NFL. This is interesting. Why? We haven't heard his name.
Because he wears out his welcome.
And I think there might also be, he may be getting phone calls and turning down interviews. Like because you have to imagine, the Raiders have called him and talked to him already.
And he just wants
like,
the
all
offer?
These rumors and all this stuff, it doesn't yeah. seem like there's no, but we haven't heard he's been given an interview with the Raiders.
That's true.
So I'm guessing there's a little bit more decorum of, hey, man, I'm still a college coach. I'm still recruiting right now. So sure. If you put all my name in, I'm done. I have to leave because you kill my recruiting class.
And Jim Harbaugh is, you know.
That's a good point.
All these guys are BSers to some degree, but apparently with a recruit a month ago was pretty honest about this question when the mom asked.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh was.
I don't know. And coaches never do that.
They never do that because that's disaster for your recruiting.
Brian Kelly was on a recruiting trip in California for Notre Dame. And Tommy Reese is with him. Tommy Reese is on Russillo's podcast and talks about this and gets a phone call as the recruiting and is like, yeah, I've got to get out of here. I mean, that's pretty normal. That's not abnormal.
Because it's about to break.
Yeah.
I took another job.
What was that normal? Wow, as he yeah. said, I got to get out of here in a Southern accent.
Right.
That was what was abnormal. He switched accents midway through recruiting.
I got to go see my family.
I got to skedaddle.
June's got some tea up on the front porch I got to get to, guys.
So Harbaugh to Vegas.
I think Harbaugh to more than Vegas.
Chicago.
Patrick's right.
His quarterback there.
Behind the scenes, there should be more teams interested in Harbaugh. And Chicago should be one of them, too. His name has come up for Chicago. Officially, why teams aren't like, you know,
right.
We're interested in Jim Harbaugh. You haven't heard any of that. So
I think he's got to be wooed, and I think Mark Davis will do that.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and I think they had the team. This team was 4-1 when Gruden was out.
Right.
They went 6-6 the rest of the season, still made the playoffs, put up a fight in the playoffs. They're not that far away.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Derek Carr, I hope you drink milk. With your steak.
Yeah.
It'll help out with that first dinner.
Hey, he's a culture guy, too. His hires are going to be interesting, right? Because that's what changed for him at Michigan.
Right.
He changed the coaching yep. staff a little bit.
Mayock was asked about this. One of the early questions with having a team in Vegas is there too much to do?
Distractions.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Got teams in L.A. I'm more to do than
that. I heard that on
New York.
Miami, New York.
Is that Miami?
Hell, Houston and Atlanta with their strip clubs alone.
James Harden will tell you, yeah, that can be a distraction.
All right, right, 1 hour in, we got 3 to go. We'll get to the NFL coming up next, but actually on the field, Buffalo, KC should be a great one. LA, Tampa Bay could be a great one.